Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Another episode of the Aussie Rugby Show. I'm Louise Ransom. We're in Balmain this week at the Cat and Fiddle Pub, joined
Wolves.
Yeah.
As always by Drew Mitchell, Stephen Hoyles and Sean Maloney.
One of your 17 clubs that you played with,
Drew Mitchell. And they paid well. Subby's team paid well.
You now own this pub as a result of a couple of games, don't you?
One of the few.
What about them, though? The Mighty Muzzled Wolves, as you say, Lou, sponsored by the Cat and Fiddle. Hell of a pub.
This is the best we've had so far. We've had some good venues we've been to.
Wood Fire Pizzas looked after us tonight. Oh, bellissimo.
they're good. They're a great club. They've got players from so many different nations come around. They've recruited well. They've actually had a bit of a history. Of course, I played here for a little bit. When I say a little bit, maybe that many games. We got Gitz down, Makido, he played
a game. Sebastian Chabal played here.
He came all the way over and played a game, a curtain raiser to one of the Super Games at ANZ Stadium. Matt Dunning, Ryan Cross.
Robinson was coach
kind
one
of actually, stage. Yeah, they and so James Stennard, Chucky Stennard,
yeah.
The seventh.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer. So
yeah.
They actually changed the rules about how subbies teams could play, could pay players,
yeah.
I think, as a result, because the Mighty Muzzles were just too good.
Some ATO issues.
No, wasn't any of that. There was just a bit of jealousy issues from some of the other subbies.
Sure.
Petersham.
We're going to Petersham in a few weeks.
Well, we are.
You can chop them off.
We're
until
going
then.
Town.
If you do want us to go to your rugby club to film the show, please get in touch on all our socials. We're confined to New South Wales at the moment, guys, because of COVID, but looking forward to getting to a few more places. Also, looking forward to this segment we always do to start the show. What got you? Drew, let's kick it off.
OK, what got me over the weekend? A couple of little things. Obviously, I'd had a pretty big July, it's fair to say.
2020 more like it.
I woke up a couple of days after Kirtley's wedding and thought, I need to get healthy again. So I ordered myself a juice cleanse. Juice cleanse started. 3-day juice cleanse. Don't eat anything, just the juices. Started on Saturday morning. I get a phone call on Thursday. Big Wendell Saylor. We're doing some work down in, obviously, in Sydney, or up in Sydney. He lives down in Wollongong. Do you mind if I stay at your house on Friday? I said, mate, would love to have you. You know, it'd be my honour. He's my first roomie going into professional sport. And then Friday became Saturday, became Sunday. And when you're trying to do a juice cleanse, it's not really that conducive if you've got Big Wendell Saylor staying with you.
So, Wendell hydrated by about 4 litres of Coca-Cola pre-game. Like, he was not a water man at all.
No.
I can't imagine being a juice man either.
And then he would say, mate, you know, like, thanks so much for having me. I'll shout you breakfast. Let's go for breakfast. Mate, I'm having a juice. But he's got great energy. He's a guy that kind of gave me a lot of time.
Wasn't Taff plodding out with you as well?
Yeah, we ran into Taff. He had a lunch down at Bondi for his birthday over the weekend. Coming from the west into the east, have a birthday at North
Bondi. We should
Bondi
get Fish. Wendell on the show at some stage.
Wendell wants to get on the show.
Does
Wendell
he?
Just wants to get in front of the camera.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Literally the whole time, I saw his pecker more than my own over the weekend. Right? Like he doesn't stay clone. Like
hard to miss.
We're at home. Yeah, it's hard to miss.
Big Wendy's, I think it was once referred to.
He just walks around my house and he looks at me and goes, mate, look at this. It's not even fair. I'm 46. Like, look at this, mate. Like, God bless me with this body, like, oh.
He's
and the whole
hard.
Time he's just like, yeah. Anyway, I had to tell him a number of times he could put some clothes on, but he's a good man. He gave me a lot of time and a lot of his, I guess, experience he
get
passed
him
on.
In.
So
get him
anything
in.
I can do to help
get
him.
Get him in.
Well, what
and,
got me...
And just, like, hanging out with him.
Was it's not nudity. It was a fully clothed Christian Lelefano running the water for the Brumbies on the weekend.
Yep.
Obviously, he finished with the Brumbies last year, went up to Japan in his home because of COVID. I don't know if I wouldn't be too surprised if I saw him running out there for the Brumbies over the next few weeks. Lola Seo is out for the an extended period of time, a 4 to 6 week, maybe 8 week hamstring injury. Yeah. So maybe there's a little bit more to it.
That's not a bad shout. What got me, I had my first foray into deep fried whole fish. I don't know if you guys ever had it before. That's my first little thing. So I ordered myself a bunch of whole fish the other day at a restaurant in Manly after we were there for the Shoot Shield game.
Yep.
And it came out sat upright. It's an upright whole fish and you strip it. You strip it into the sauce, you have that. That was what got me first, never had before.
So I thought being in Japan for the whole World Cup, you would have tried
that. You can't get that fair, mate. Can't get that fair. I tell you what.
It's all fresh over there.
You know who's come back from Japan?
You also tried the whale. Let me segue. You told me off there, you had some whale.
Let me segue. Let me segue. Speaking of Japan, Samu Kerevi's back. Samu Kerevi is back from that part of the world. He's running water as well in the Brisbane Club competition. That got me too.
Yep. A couple of heavyweights. Bobby Boucher's.
Yes. What got you on the weekend, Lou Ransom?
Well, I loved seeing the Aussie Sevens girls getting back on the park. Elia Green in particular, very impressive. Good hairstyle from Elia at the moment.
Well, she's had that for a long time now.
Yeah, but it's, I reckon it's longer.
Do you think it's COVID? Yeah. My God, she ran at some...
What about that team,
She ran at some... I mean, well, that team should have won by 50.
Shani Williams and Elia Green, like three gold medalists turn up. How did they go?
They won just against East hung tough. Elia ran at a couple of... the East women, and it was not pretty to watch.
Oh, mate,
tough
she's so
to
powerful.
Watch.
She's so
tough
powerful.
To watch.
What do you think about all that chat about those girls potentially playing in a bit of rugby league? I'd love to see them go there, because I really do think that Elia, Charlotte, I really think they're a class above.
I'm going to tell you why I think that's a terrible idea, because if they go to that competition, they'll become role models in rugby league, and kids coming through, girls, if I'm paying their wage as Rugby Australia, are going to go, wow,
but if they're not,
I'll go
if they're
that
not paying
side.
Their wage, though?
Oh, they just need to play some footy. That's the most important thing, whether it be
and
legal or
not. They're doing it now, playing in
of course, we want to see those girls in our game, but I also think it's great to maybe cross over.
I think we all agree that.
Maybe what we could do is, like, what it might do is bring some of the rugby league supporters to rugby when they come back from rugby league.
Interesting.
Like, you know, get them to really fall in love with the girls and the skills and the, you know, what they, like the level of play that they have. And maybe we can start bringing a few of the fans back our way.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Okay, Super Rugby, rocks and diamonds, what you liked, what you didn't like from over the weekend. Hulsey, what do you got?
Well, it's the same instance. I really liked the extra time or the super time in the Rebels game. I liked it because it was played down the right end of the field. So the rocks was poor Jeremy Thrush missing the kickoff, which gave the Rebels a chance to play for a try. And I think if played in the right spirit and you're playing for a five-pointer, it can be really exciting. I quite liked the end of that game.
Nice. For me, rocks and diamonds. I thought it was young Mac Mason. He came on the back end of the game for
Mac
the Brumbies.
Hanson.
Sorry.
That's all right. Mac Mason did play.
I actually really like Mac Mason. And that's maybe why I had him in my head. But I also like Mac Hanson.
Yeah.
Anyway, he came on to the back end of the Brumbies game. He had a chance to draw level with a conversion attempt. Sprayed it. And the thing I like about it, and this is where it goes for my diamonds, is you don't often get a chance to rectify a wrong that soon. Sometimes, and especially for young players, you might have to sit on it, stew on it for a number of weeks. But he got an opportunity to get a penalty goal late in the game, just lined it up and said, yep, give me the ball. Just brushed off everything that had happened previously and put it through to go one clear and win the game. And that was my diamonds. Just for him to get that opportunity to kind of right those wrongs so soon after and then go up there and step up, put it all aside and get the...
I like to think that he was singing Return of the Mac in his head when he lined up the second swing. Remember that song?
Yeah, Mark Morrison, great song.
The Mac.
Yeah, it's very...
No,
keep going. Yeah.
No, I'll park it there. And I'll give you my diamond. Jordy Patea has been forever since we've seen him on the park. Hamstrings are good. He was amazing for the Reds the other night. That's my diamond, the rock, his hairstyle.
Yeah.
Not feeling it, not vibing it whatsoever.
There's a lot of bad hairstyles going around at the moment. Like, who thinks that mullets and no sideburns and all that shit?
Are you
is
the
a good
one
look?
To be talking about bad
Whoa,
hairstyles?
Says you.
Like, no. In your career, though, you had a few good ones.
Could we do that with you
on
episode 8? Come on.
But you know what I mean? Do you like the mullet trend and the
no
sideburn thing? Like, of course.
I think it was acceptable if you're a Highlander because it was South of New Zealand thing.
Sideburns.
But anyone else would agree.
Because you got the words.
But I also think it's a bit of a rite of passage in your career to maybe have some questionable.
Yeah.
Look,
I don't mind it from just
you question
standing
mine now,
out.
But at the moment, at the time,
we've had
like,
this discussion.
Trend.
You thought,
like,
yeah.
My Beckham mullet a
you
little
tell
bit
us
back
that.
Was a bit on trend.
Jeezy was good.
I don't
Jordy
mind
Patea's
hair as long as he's going to play like that. Sean.
Yeah, you can do.
Yeah, again, you went through a few bad ones last year. Like, it's just a bit of a thing that people go
it
through.
It is. Yours, Lou. What do you got? got?
Okay, so 100th game for Aaron Cruden. Mm-hmm. Great to see him with the Chiefs. Chiefs don't get another loss. This is more of a rock for Sean, potentially.
Can we just clarify? I'm not paying for everyone's lunch.
Yeah, you are.
You are. That's
we'll go back to the tape. Okay. And the thing was, if
it's
your
team... We're a team. We're a team. Yeah.
If your team wins, if your team wins, you get a free lunch.
How many games
left pay for it?
New Zealand?
Not enough for the Chiefs.
It's like two or three rounds.
Yeah, not many.
If their donut wins, you're doing that show the week after noon.
All right.
You can cover your modesty with whatever club jersey we've got.
I don't think I agree with this. Well, the big stories from the week, let's get into those. And first off, there was an article written by Julian Linden from the Daily Telegraph in Sydney, and he was comparing the two Super Rugby competitions in Australia and then Super Rugby Aotearoa as well. He was saying that the ball is in play for 2 minutes more in the Australian competition, but then I guess the comparison for the final series, or lack thereof, in New Zealand is something that is maybe lacking.
Just to clarify... He said that the New Zealand Super Rugby competition is inferior to the Australian.
It was something along those lines, yeah. That was the angle he was going with.
Okay.
Yeah, and I get the impression that you disagree with that.
Well, yeah, I think it's important to focus on the points as to why he said it. He's not talking about the standard of footy or all that. He's talking about the fact that the Aussie games have, on average, got 2 more minutes of ball in play time, which is what we all want to see, more ball in play time.
Okay.
And also the fact that the rugby, the Australian Super Rugby competition have a final set up. So first past the post gets a week off, second and third play for that other spot in the final. Whereas New Zealand, they've only got like an English Premier League type set up. Yeah. Whoever wins at the end of the regular season wins the competition. Yeah. That's all he's saying. I think
he's spot on with the final series.
Mate, especially there are five teams.
Especially when we don't know what's going to happen.
There are five teams in the competition.
Chill, dude. I didn't write it.
I know, but you're here defending the decision.
No.
There are five teams.
I just think because there's going to be such a big gap potentially between what they do after that Super Rugby NZ and Test footy. There is time to play a competition, a final series.
Yeah.
I'd like to see final series played.
And also,
wouldn't you?
No. Yeah. Listen, there are five teams title.
You've said that, yeah.
Okay, you've got your numbers worked out. Put your hand up like that, then wipe away two. You've still got three left for the final series. It's madness. More people go through the finals and lose out. It's crazy.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, but I still think...
I also think, like, none of us like a draw. Like, there needs to be a grand final, there needs to be a final at the end. Yeah.
Didn't
like,
say there shouldn't be a final.
Just not a final series.
A final series. Oh,
yeah, okay.
Only five teams.
It's only like two and three play off to play the next week. Like,
craziness.
Not really a series.
Yeah,
short.
I would have been happy with...
You guys framed this as a series.
I would have been happy.
Now losing
we just know
just did one and two, but I just think first past the post, in this climate, when there's a shortage of rugby, give another couple of games if you can.
And there's been more games in the Australian Super Rugby Conference. That have been decided by 10 points or less. Like, the games are closer. There's not as many blowouts as they're experiencing in New Zealand. Maybe it's because every team, still to this point...
Yes.
Every team has a chance to make the finals.
Yep.
But it might
Whereas your Chiefs are.
Your Chiefs, maybe.
What are they playing
and
for right now?
I know that
right
this goes to New Zealand. I'm sorry for my friends and family in
the Waikato region.
Yeah, well, my sister-in-law's from Hamilton, so...
Yeah.
But maybe they've thrown the towel in a little bit.
Mm. Nah.
The Chiefs, I mean, I'm not suggesting
maybe they
that.
Want to see you on this
maybe
show new next week, Sean.
The Chiefs under Warren G.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
Warren G.
How come we've never run with that earlier? I like that.
I don't
Warren
know, because
G.
maybe Warren G is not really someone you want to be linked to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't he, like, got a few clouds hanging over him?
I don't know.
I'm
thankful if we get more games like the Brumbies-Reds game. And let's be completely honest, the Brumbies-Reds game and the Reds-Tars game... and potentially Reds Force up there. They're three standout matches from across what has been a number of games that have been played out. The Norman New Zealand has been top level.
Yeah, we've had some really good games in Australia. We've had some not so good games, but at least the not so good games have been close in scoreline.
I think also, generally speaking, the games that the Aussie teams have been playing this year have been a far greater spectacle than some of the derby games we've experienced in the last probably 5 to 10 years in maybe Australian Super Rugby, and we've been involved in some of those. So I just think the intent and the way that they're going out there and the way that they want to play and the expansive style, I think it's the games are getting much more exciting for the viewer, and that can only be a positive as well.
A new segment here on the Aussie Rugby Show, Gone But Not Forgotten. We're going to remember some of our favourite rugby players, both on and off the pitch. Sean, this week, I'm giving it to you.
I got landed with the starting debut for this little segment,
which
I'm totally on board with. Is awesome. This man's won everything in world rugby. I mean everything, including a John Eales medal with Jeremy Paul, 2004.
Yes,
JP. One of your guys' favourites.
Uncle Ming.
JP, Uncle Ming, hell of a player.
Great. He was always very good to the young guys coming in, Jeremy Paul. Yeah,
he
very
was.
Popular player.
And could get around the park too.
Well, he had what was known as Fat Man's Alley. He used to position himself right in the middle of the field. Anytime there was a line break made, he was between the 10 metres either side of the post, basically. Yeah. That was Jeremy Paul territory, and he was just up and down the middle all game. Scored a lot of tries, support playing.
We're obviously not just about the on-field, though, with this segment. Off-field probably outweighs the on in many regards. Well, I've taken it to another level with this segment. I caught up with him last week, and this is how JP dodged Eddie Jones after a night on the Terps. Check this out.
When we used to go out, we knew Eddie Beaver would get up around about... So Eddie Jones is Beaver. He'd get up anywhere from sort of 4:30 to 6:30, well, probably 5:30 to 6. So you never caught the elevators, you never caught the lifts, or you never came home at that time. So you'd just stay out at a cafe or whatever, and you'd come walking through the main corridor like at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and the management would be sitting there and they'd go, "What's it? Why are you up so?" "Oh man," you'd hold a paper. "Couldn't sleep. Like this one, just went for an early breakfast. No worries, mate." So it was like, and you'd have to go and buy another shirt from somewhere as well. I know, you came up, because I remember George Smith, like, we came home from, we were in Coffs Harbour, and he came stumbling, we were stumbling home, and I think it was like a Wednesday or something. Like that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And we were like going, "Oh, where's Jorge?" So that was George Smith's Spanish word for George. And we're going, "Where's Jorge? Where's Jorge?" Like this one, and he'd stumbled off to the left. And we went, "No," like this, because we were going up the fire escape. We're going up the stairs. And we go, "No." "Oh, dead man walking." We'll just we've got to cut a good man loose sometimes. And lo and behold, he pushes the lift and Beaver walks out.
No.
At like, 4:30 or quarter to five in the morning.
Got him. Got Smith. Yeah. I'm guessing it wouldn't have been the one and only time that they got Smith.
Oh, look, I think George, he got caught a few times, but he backed it up on the field. Yeah. That was what was good about it.
Well, that was the other thing that in that same chat with JP, he said that he, on Adam Ashley Cooper's debut game, took him out and slaughtered him.
Yeah.
It got to, like, 4 in the morning. He was begging to go home. He's like, "Me, take me home, I'm done." He's like, "You're not going anywhere."
Yeah.
But I'm going to drag you out of bed first thing tomorrow morning and I'm going to flog you again on the park.
That was his, like, one of his biggest things. Like, if you want to play up, you've got to front up. And any player that sort of went out there and was, you know, were getting on the drink and whatever, and if you couldn't front up at training or at recovery or whatever your duty was the next day, travel days, if you didn't front up, then Ming and a few other senior boys just wouldn't allow you to go out and the drink again for the rest of that tour or whatever. So as much as they sort of went out there and enjoyed themselves, they're also the first ones out there doing the work and whatever. And he, you know, like you said it earlier, like he did a lot for, he's really inviting and accepting of the young guys when he's coming through. When on my first tour, I was over there, perhaps a little bit lonely. I didn't know a lot of these guys because, you know, I was 2004. I was on the bench in the last game, didn't get on, but, you know, I'd never met any of them really, other than the Queensland Reds guys that I was playing with at the time, and I looked up to like a lot of them, and they all kept stealing their little mascot, like the Wally that I had to have, and I was too embarrassed and too shy to confront them and ask them if they like stole it from me, and I would just get like, because back in then those days, if Wally didn't go to some of the you know, the venues, the venues or the, yeah, the team, yeah, photos and stuff, you basically got tannings, which is like pull your pants down, and you cop Riddick Isamo's, I mean, his right hand.
Yeah. Was this like, tannies high?
Tannies high, yeah. And Dan Vickerman was very good at
then
it.
And you'd be split, whatever, but then Ming would always just bring you in and goes, look, I know like sometimes it gets a bit lonely on tour and whatever. If you ever need to, Uncle Ming's door's always open. He always had snacks. Maybe they weren't for me, the snacks. Maybe
it was always
just
open, but he was never home. Yeah.
But Ming was always really good. He was always, you know, he was always there for the younger fellas, knowing that, you know, perhaps we're in environments, perhaps some of the other players, those older guys, weren't as comfortable.
He was always the guy, yeah, that would say, like, OK, like, this is where we're going after the game, and he'd go and source that throughout the week, and there'd be a signed Wallaby jersey given to a pub like this, and because he was big on making sure the team stayed together, because there's, yeah, nothing worse than being away on a tour and having eight groups of three guys going here. So he would say to you, and Eddie, to be fair, he was very good on making sure the team went out, but Jeremy, that was his thing, you know, he'd organise where to go. He was smart enough to know where and what time to come home and how to get in the back door. He was a very good team man.
There's a lot of lessons to learn from Uncle Ming.
Time now for the Aussie Rugby Show mailbag. And thank you so much for sending in all your questions on Twitter and Instagram. Much appreciated. First one, I'm going to kick things off. Drew, this one's for you. This is from Tom Hampton.
Tommy.
What did you try to do to get out of a form slump when you were struggling?
I think it can be tough sometimes. Sometimes, you know, for varying different reasons, just things don't go your way. But you start to doubt yourself. Once doubt sort of starts to creep in, you start to hesitate and you miss those little split-second opportunities that you get in the game. So, what?
Well, is this on the dating front or, like, playing footy?
You know, just talking on field.
Oh, sorry.
It wasn't specific.
But my way of getting out of those form slumps is different because what I did back in the day with rugby form slumps was watch footage. So I didn't do that in the dating arena.
You watched a lot of YouTube.
I used to watch a lot of YouTube. I did because when, you know, at points in your career where you start to, you find yourself in a bit of a form slump, you start to doubt things. And what I used to do was go back and watch myself and remind myself that I was capable. No, this is about rugby, Sean.
Oh, no, I'm with you.
But I would remind myself that I was capable, that I was able to match it in that arena or against these players and whatever. And sometimes I think, you know, with whether it be through media or through
your orders. I'm not laughing, but continue.
Oh, I know, look.
Yeah, busted, yeah.
But yeah, so I used to watch a little bit of footage. But I've got a question.
Who's yours for?
Mine is for Louise, and it is from Sorters, Sam Orders. He's a big fan from Hong Kong.
Mm.
Favourite cheat meal?
Ooh. I love a big bowl of pasta. That's my favourite meal, but I reckon a burger, and I'm doing my Shoot Shield burger tour season. Just to see which is the best burger.
You're at Chatswood this weekend. I wonder what they've got off stag team.
10 weeks to go. You won't be able to fit in that chair by the end of the Shoot Shield.
Oh, don't go shamed again. You body shamed a few times on this show.
Yeah, you do.
I think you look great. You'll just fit in that chair no matter what.
It's a cheat meal. It doesn't count.
Hold on, what about your cheat meals?
All of them. Yeah.
I'm cheap.
I'm loyal to everyone. I'm a loyalist. I'm loyal as a day is long.
Then ask your question.
I'm quite hungry. I think about it. Where those pizzas go?
We just smashed it out three pieces.
Captain Field do a hell of a wood fire pizza. Stephen Halls, yours is probably the only rugby related question. Would you pick who? Who would you pick at number eight for the Wallabies? And that's asked by the Gus at the Robusto.
Good question. I think there's a fair few at the moment that are playing well. I'm a big fan of Pete Samu. Issei Naisirana is the incumbent. I thought he had a good start to his test season last year. But I also think Harry Wilson is going to be a very,
he's
very...
He's emerging, yeah.
Yeah, he's an emerging... I also think Will Harris from the Waratahs, who's played a couple of games, who's injured at the moment, is a very good young emerging player. If I had to pick it now, I would probably go to Pete Samu because of what he can do in attack. I really like the fact that he's just a little bit unpredictable. I think if we're trying to pick a side that he's going to take on the best, we have to pick a side that can score points. And he, at the moment, has the most amount of natural attack in him. But I think Harry Wilson and Will Harris would be very good long-term number eight.
How good was it seeing Harry Wilson running in from, like, 30 out the other day?
He's a quality... He's playing as if it's his third or fourth season of Super Rugby. It's his first. So, really impressive.
Good attitude.
It's a position we've got a lot of players. Sean, I'll ask you a question.
Go.
And it centres around the back row as well, and this might actually have something to do with who plays number eight. It says, do you reckon Michael Hooper needs a break from rugby? He's looking tired and a bit over it mentally. He's gone so hard for so long, and that's from Simon R., which is... at Rugby Smart Arts.
Nah.
Oh, hang on, just beforehand, I want to shame him because his tweet, he said Michael Hopper. Come on, mate.
Nah, he knows.
Is there
He knows who Michael Hooper is. We all do. Everyone around the world knows who Michael Hooper is. No, he's fine. I caught up with him, would have been about 6 weeks back before the season recommenced. Tanned, relaxed after spending plenty of time in the water surfing. The
got married.
Surfer been pumping, married. No, he's
you know why this is
his
questions come up? Because he gave away a couple of penalties on the weekend and everyone said, oh, he looks, he's disappointed with his side, he's frustrated. He's just trying his heart out like he always does. And he's in a side that's not going that well. So he's smart.
I think he's fine.
He's had a break. He's had 12 weeks off with COVID. I think he's
totally. There's no way you'd even be able to stop him from wanting to play. I mean, good luck with that.
Is he going to play for Manly at some stage?
This is
as well?
The other
big story. Bother, honestly?
This is the other big story that's coming out.
Yeah.
He loves it so much that bounced out last week. So he's almost tried to create a situation where he can be available for Manly v the Rats, which is the biggest club. Yeah.
Who would you be going for in that game?
Michael Hooper. that's the biggest club competition or club game probably in the Southern Hemisphere, I would say.
Oh, come on.
Listen, club
game. Get your hand off it, mate.
True story, 9,000 people
Queensland
there.
Queensland Universe Brothers.
How many people would be there for that game?
Heaps more than your one.
More than 9,000?
Well, it can be only the same in COVID compliant.
Oh, OK.
Yeah.
I didn't say schools. I didn't say schools. I'm not talking schools. I'm talking club.
You said club.
I want to start talking a bit more about the Queensland Premier. I think we're a bit too strong on the shoot.
Okay.
We're Sydney-based people.
We need to get up
Melbourne
there.
Because of me, and we're banned from Queensland because of COVID.
Yeah.
So in any case, that'd be a hell of a result.
I've got another question.
Drew, that would be great.
Two.
It sort of goes on the club rugby theme. It's from Peter Boylan, maybe Boylo.
Boylo.
When playing
he's,
Super
he's
Rugby...
He's the Balmain guy.
Yeah. Is he? From here?
Former teammate. Yeah, that's why I said Boylo.
Used to have a few more. When playing Super Rugby, would you have preferred playing games at suburban grounds with atmosphere?
Great.
Why should we rush back to large stadiums when COVID crowd numbers are so poor? Bring rugby back to the people.
Yeah, look, I think it's there's so many different elements to it. I think the bigger ones bring a lot of money, and that's why the teams sign with them, the Stadium Australias of the world. Ideally, you'd like to play in a full stadium. So whether you can, if the capacity that you can fill with your game and your team at the time is 10, 12,000, then go to a local suburban ground because that creates a genuine atmosphere. There's no point playing that. Well, in terms of atmosphere, no one likes playing in a 12,000 Australian, Stadium Australia out at Homebush. But I think it comes down to a little bit more money. If we take money out of it, you just want to play in full stadiums. My experience in France, at Toulon, we had an 18,000-seat stadium. That packed every week is better than, sometimes half-filling an 80,000-seat stadium. Every time, actually. The atmosphere that it can create is always so much better. So I would just find... what we would do, we'd play our bigger games in Marseille where there's 60,000 or Nice where there's 40. So maybe that's something that the Waratahs moving forward can look at, a couple of suburban grounds, and then the bigger games that bring the bigger crowd attendances, they go to, out of Bankwest or Stadium Australia or whatever it is. But unfortunately, I think a lot of those decisions are made around finances.
OK, let's get to our weekend forecast on the Aussie Rugby Show. We predict where each panel member is going to be this coming weekend. I'll kick things off. Stephen Hoyles, you are going to be crossing your fingers for some great snow to fall at Perisher because we are heading there next week for this show.
It's funny you say that, the forecast. The forecast, they're saying a metre snow, Sean.
That's deep.
A metre snow.
That's real deep.
I've been
that's
in some snow in my time, but a metre's great.
Lot. That's deep.
I'm going to predict you. I hear little
you're
birdies.
You're face first in that kind of snow.
You're going
deep.
Down to see Winter Giddo, Matt Giddo and Bianca's brand new baby daughter. I predict you'll get down there Friday night. They'll give you maybe 5 to 10 minutes with her. You'll make an ass of yourself and then you'll get sent out and you'll be wandering the streets of Canberra.
And I'll be wiping her a little ass and putting a nappy on.
You'll plan to spend the weekend with the Giddos. You'll get half an hour with her, then you'll be out with Hughie Edmonds for the rest of the weekend.
Oh, no, I want to stay away from Hughie Edmonds. OK, I'll predict Shawnee. Shawnee will start quite nice. You'll get a bit of a longboard action out there in Manly. Get your little daughter, the Yazzie, to take some photos to make sure we all know that you can surf.
Yep, fine.
Shoot shield. Quite a number of cheap meals.
And
then we'll see you at the snow.
Might have some cheap drinks too. If we're keeping count.
Okay.
Keeping count,
what about Louise?
Well, I'm going to predict that Lou gets lost driving through the snow on Sunday. I'm going to predict that you take a turn off.
Yeah. It's highly likely.
Near that McDonald's in Kizakuma. And we may not see you.
This is why I'm going to lift with someone because it won't end well otherwise.
Just don't take directions from him.
We were going from Cooma to Canberra because Drew was about to call his first test match and there was a bad accident on the. And there's one road from Cooma to Canberra.
I remember.
So I said, follow me, fellas.
took us 4.5 hours.
I'm someone who gets anxiety quite a lot as well. Going my first test.
So he goes, we've got a hooker right here. We've got a hooker right. And we start off, like, we go out through these mountains. And I go, Halsey, this is pretty remote. He goes, nah, she'll be right. And then tarmac stops, dirt road.
I'm sliding out.
No phone signal.
No phone signal. And then Drew goes, this is pretty grim. I go, mate, this is the worst thing ever. He goes, should we count how many dead kangaroos we can see?
And wombats.
It was 10 points for a wombat, 20 for a roo. Yeah. Four hours later, Vi Queanbeyan.
Very first test match call, and Drew was shaving.
I had to shave in the car park. I was, oh.
But we got there on time.
You made it.
We got there, and a year later, I don't have a job. Maybe we can put it down to that.
Okay, so the moral of the story is don't get a lift with Hoilsey, is that right?
No. True.
Okay. Won't be doing that. Guys, thanks so much for your company once again for the show. Drew Mitchell, Stephen Hoyles, Sean Maloney, great to have you here. Great to be here at Cat and Fiddle in Balmain, home of the Balmain Rugby Club. Thanks so much for hosting us. Guys, we've got a podcast
as well.
Yeah, we're a podcast now.
It's a bit going on. Yeah. Some people are actually working on this setup, not that you'd know. But there's some people doing some stuff behind the scenes.
So find us there, put it on in the car when you're going to work or, you know, walking the dog. What
do you
want to do?
Between Coomera and Canberra.
There's plenty of opportunities.
There'll be no signal to listen to it.
Download it before you go.
That's the play.
There's ways. Guys, thanks so much. Thanks to your company as well. Wherever you're watching, we will see you next time.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.